we've got the Cincinnati Bengals heading to Jacksonville as 9.5-point underdogs. The total is set at 39. This is Showdown Coverage brought to you by sharpfootballanalysis.com. I'm your host, Adam Wilde. And before we get into DraftKings, we want to remind you that you can get 15% off any subscription at sharpfootballanalysis.com using promo code ANGLES, A-N-G-L-E-S, for the 15% discount on all packages. So without further ado, let's jump into the slate. So we have a backup quarterback in Jake Browning. He's going to be coming in for Jibber, obviously. I think it's third week, right? And he's priced at 8,800. That's a little bit tough, a little bit higher than I think we probably would have liked to see him at. I think if we could have got him at like 8,000 flat, it would have made this slate a lot more interesting. But since we didn't, it makes things a lot easier, I guess, or harder, I guess. Depending on how you look at it, it's going to be harder to get more unique because you're going to have mostly Jacksonville 4x2s and 5x1s. We do have Travis Etienne questionable, but he is projected to be in. He's at 10,200. Trevor Lawrence is at 10,800. And DraftKings must feel really good about those prices because that's pretty much what they are every week. And they're always just about making value. You're not seeing a ton of ceiling performances out of either of them, but they're both going to be pretty crucial parts of our lineup builds just because without Jake Browning hitting value, it's going to be really tough for the rest of those guys too as well. But we'll get into that in a moment. So Trevor Lawrence obviously is going to highlight a lot of our builds considering how heavily a favorite he is at home. And he's also pretty reasonably priced at under 11,000. And then you have Travis Etienne at 10,200, who has one of the better workloads in the league. You know, probably a top five, top 10 workload. He's going to have close to 70% of the snaps. He's going to get somewhere between 15 and 20 touches. He's also quite electric, so he has a good ceiling. Just an all-around good play, and he can be paired with Lawrence. You kind of put yourself into a corner when you play them together, though, just because it eats up so much of your salary that you're going to have very similar lineups because you don't have a lot of options with the remaining salary. But hopefully we could get to that in the end because they're two pretty crucial pieces to your multi-entry tournaments. Jamar Chase at 9,400, super fair price because now with Jake Browning, he's seeing like six or seven targets as opposed to like 10 or 11 with Joe Burrow. But Jamar Chase on six or seven targets is definitely worth 9,400. If you told me he's definitely getting seven targets, he might be one of my favorite values of the slate. Especially since Calvin Ridley is only $200 left. Now, Calvin Ridley is expected to be on the winning side of the equation, but Calvin Ridley doesn't even consistently outproduce Christian Kirk. And I don't think, you know, obviously Ridley or Kirk are not in the same stratosphere as Chase. So with Chase expecting to be an underdog playing from behind by a touchdown and a half most of the game, his volume is going to have to be there. And if you're playing Jake Browning, you should definitely be trying to fit in Jamar Chase, even if that means you can't get to ETN, because it's going to be very difficult for Browning to meet value without Jamar Chase producing reasonably well. So we kind of touched on Ridley there a little bit. Don't need to do too terribly much more. I think he did have a big game either last week or the week before. I forget which week it was, but he's priced that high because his ceiling is pretty high. We saw it really early in the year. I think the first and second game, Ridley had some phenomenal performances and then kind of settled into a role where he just made life easier for Christian Kirk. And that's been working for them, but it's not really working for Calvin Ridley's fantasy production. So 9,200, perfectly viable for like mid to large field tournaments. And small field, I'm probably just going to go with Kirk actually in cash every Jaguar slate that I've played this year, Christian Kirk has been my captain. It's just, he has pretty bankable production, and he's always relatively cheap, easy to pair with Lawrence, easy to fit Etienne in there. So it makes things work out with Christian Kirk at captain. T. Higgins at 7,600 is going to be a tough pill to swallow, especially since Joe Mixon's at 7,000. Joe Mixon's going to touch the ball twice as much as T. Higgins at least. And then T. Higgins just has the uphill battle of trying to, you know, play football with Jake Browning at quarterback, which Browning's performed fine for relative to expectations. It's just, you know, it's tough to come in your first year and produce midway through the season, especially as a rookie. So T. Higgins at 7,600 is pretty low on your list of priorities. You would much rather just prioritize Joe Mixon. And then you have Evan Ingram at 6,200, who I kind of like more than both of them. And he fits really well with the Jaguar stacks that we're going to be looking to make. He's always a little bit cheaper than I think he deserves to be. I think he's a $7,000 player, and he's usually around like 6,800. So he's not too terribly underpriced, but he's a nice like option that's going to be around 30% and that can always fit into your Jaguar stacks. All right, let's go down a little bit further, and we get to this $5,000 range. And this is just going to depend largely on how you're building your lineups. Like, Zay Jones experienced a $2,000 price hike, and he just fits really well going into your Jaguars lineups. Obviously, if you want to overstack the Jaguars, you're going to go 4-2, 5-1 Jaguar builds, then you're going to throw Zay Jones in there, especially since he's cheaper than Tyler Boyd. But Tyler Boyd's probably going to see more targets than Zay Jones. He has a higher ceiling than Zay Jones as well, I will say. And he's a nice cheap run back option. If you're going to go heavily investing in the Jaguars, you can run back Tyler Boyd. So I've been pumped about Zay Jones a lot of times this season based on his salary. But on this slate, they finally seem to have put him in a position where he's not that exciting to invest in. I probably go Tyler Boyd here as one of my lone run back options and just go, hey, I want to heavily invest in the Jaguars, and then I just want to run back a Bengal that, you know, has bankable production, but also can hit some sort of ceiling if he has to. Tanner Hudson at 4,000 kind of prices him out. He's kind of like Noah Gray is always like my barometer. So Noah Gray, when he's under 2,000, he's my favorite play. When he's over 2,000 into the 3,000, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole because he's going to keep the same roster percentage throughout. But when he's more expensive, he's not likely with his two catches or one catch to pay off his 3,000, but he is likely to pay off his 1,000. So Tanner Hudson was a really fun option when he was much cheaper. Now at 4,000, it's going to be kind of tough because he's not playing all the snaps, but he is getting a good bit of targets. So it's just kind of one of the decisions you have to make in large field tournaments. Like, I think in small field, you can probably just kind of avoid him. But in large field tournaments at 4,000, especially around there with the kickers, the defense, things like that, he could go basically unrostered. You have Irv Smith Jr. at 1,000. I would actually much rather just go with Irv Smith Jr., who's going to play similar snaps, just not seeing as many targets, but not a lot of reason why either. I think the last game that Joe Burrow's last full game, actually, Irv Smith had a phenomenal game. And then the next few weeks, it just seems like Tanner Hudson has taken over as the primary receiver, but they're still both getting tons of snaps. So if you want to get a Bengals tight end in your lineup, but you don't have a ton of salary to spend, then Irv Smith would probably be your guy. He's even priced lower than Drew Sample. Drew Sample's predominantly a blocking tight end, so not somebody that I'm looking to invest heavily into. And then besides that, we don't have a ton of, like, there's no min price options that we're excited about playing that we're willing to throw into our lineups. Usually Jamal Agnew is somebody that we're considering, but obviously he's on IR. He's usually only 200. And then you have Brenton Strange that you might be able to consider. He's listed as questionable, but he should be active. But that's like your real, real large field stuff when you're doing Trevor Lawrence stacks and you have 150 lineups to build. You're going to get Brenton Strange into maybe one of them. But this slate was more straightforward than we normally have. So we have a little bit more time to build, which is good because we have to work around the problem of how are we going to fit Trevor Lawrence and ETN into some viable lineups. So we'll start with Lawrence at captain, put ETN in the flex. Actually, I'd probably try to reverse that because I don't think this is going to be a game where Etienne has to be too heavily involved as a receiver. So we'll throw Etienne in at captain, throw Trevor Lawrence in the flex, and then see where we can go from there. We talked about Boyd a little bit. I do want to try to get to Chase whenever the option presents itself, just because I think that, one of the league's most elite players, and you're playing with fire when he's only 9,400. It doesn't matter really who's at quarterback. If he puts up 30 with Jake Browning, obviously not the most likely scenario. But if he does, no one is batting an eye. That's not going to be something that surprises anybody. And so that's something that I want some exposure to, because he's also got a pretty low floor. I mean, even on his 7 targets, he can get you 65 and a touchdown and do fine at his price. So not getting him in this lineup, I don't think, but just something to consider going forward. If you can fit Jamar Chase, even as your only run back, you can. You don't have to have Jake Browning in lineups with Jamar Chase, because Jamar Chase could do it all himself, and then the rest of the offense could struggle, and that wouldn't be too terribly difficult to imagine happening. Let's go down to Evan Ingram. I just think he's a pretty strong tournament play on every slate. So Travis Etienne, a captain, Trevor Lawrence, Tyler Boyd, Evan Ingram. And the way this lineup's going, I could actually probably go, because we're going to go a kicker, I think. So I can actually try Jamar Chase in this lineup. If not, Joe Mixon will be a nice candidate as well. So we have 4,000 left. We need to go somewhere cheap like Irv Smith. And then you have 7,300 left to play with. That would be Joe Mixon. But you don't really want to run that 3x3, so that doesn't feel great. Let's go ahead and leave that and see where else we could go. Probably maybe Jaguars defense would be nice with Travis Etienne at captain. Leaves 3,200, not a horrible slate to go with double defense if you wanted to, just to kind of differentiate yourself. I typically rule out double defense, but when both defenses are pretty cheap and you have a situation where, well, for one, the Jaguars can turn over the ball, and then for two, the Bengals are really cheap. So if you wanted to run, I never do the defense as my only run back, just because it doesn't make a lot of sense in my brain. But just don't be afraid to incorporate the Bengals defense. It could definitely be the type of game where their defense gets involved. With that being said, I mean, I guess I'll throw it in this lineup just because it's there, but we'll try to find something better. So Travis Etienne, captain, Trevor Lawrence, Jamar Chase, Evan Ingram, Jaguars, Bengals. But what I probably want to do is immediately just come down from Chase. Like I said, it was going to be difficult. Come down from Chase, go down to Boyd, and then you could do Boyd Mixon. I feel pretty good about that because Mixon could get involved as a receiver. So I'm not one who really rules out running back versus opposing defense in showdown, especially games like this that could be pretty ugly. I'm kind of happy to have both running backs and a defense in my lineup. And just expect there to not be a ton of points. So Travis Etienne, captain, Trevor Lawrence, Tyler Boyd, Evan Ingram, Jaguars, and Joe Mixon. And then something else I can see that we can probably do here, we could do Lawrence at captain. Let's go Trevor Lawrence at captain, Travis Etienne in the flex. And then I want to change Boyd to Zay Jones. And then we'll have a nice 5x1 here. Yep, perfect. Okay, so Trevor Lawrence at captain, Travis Etienne, Zay Jones, Evan Ingram, Jaguars, and Joe Mixon. Again, like you, onslaughts are kind of tough to get to the opposing running back with, but with Jake Browning at quarterback, I kind of expect him to keep Joe Mixon involved regardless of the situation, just because that's how the team's going to have to move the ball. So I don't mind playing Joe Mixon on this slate, especially since it's a rule that people will implement. You know, a lot of people go to their builders and they click the same thing every week. These are my rules. This is what I stick to. And in a sense that it feels good, and it probably works out over time. If you just have a solid foundation, you stick to the rules because you don't know what slate you should break and what slate you shouldn't. However, on slates that I feel like I'm okay breaking a few rules, like here's two rules that people might have implemented. It's running back versus opposing defense and running back as a bring back to a 5x1. Two rules that you typically don't break, but on this slate seem to fit just fine for me. And you could come down from Ingram here and go to Tyler Boyd, And if you do that, let me click Tyler Boyd just to make sure. So if you do that, then you have 8,000, and then you could play T. Higgins instead of Joe Mixon if you're talking large field stuff. So Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, Zay Jones, Tyler Boyd, Jaguars, and T. Higgins. Also a lineup that I feel kind of good about. So that's probably going to do it for today, just because Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne line. Actually, you know what? Let's build a Christian Kirk. I forgot that there's three captains I really like this week, because Christian Kirk is probably going to be who we need to incorporate Ja'Marr Chase, and we might have to kick Etienne out of the lineup. So Christian Kirk, Trevor Lawrence, Ja'Marr Chase. I really just like harping on the Jaguars defense. I think there might be expensive enough to where people don't play them too terribly often. I mean, their roster percentage will still be around 30%, but I don't think it should get to 50 or anything like that. And then I want to fit Browning into a lineup to see what we have left. 3,800, not a ton of options at that salary. So I'm probably going to come off of Browning, and I'm going to do something like Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd. And then you have 7,000, then you have Mixon. So I don't know. I think that we're okay if we go down to like, T. Higgins here. So Christian Kirk, Trevor Lawrence, T. Higgins, Jaguars. You're probably going to need an Evan Ingram here, and then 83. So now you can figure out what you want to do with that lineup. You've got almost can get to Browning, not quite, but you've got Joe Mixon there, and you've got Tyler Boyd, and then you can switch Kirk out of the captain spot. You could actually probably fit Etienne. If you go to ETN, see how much you have left over. Yeah, you could fit ETN, and then you could go Tyler Boyd. And that feels really strong. So Christian Kirk, a captain, Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, Jaguars, Evan Ingram, Tyler Boyd. And that's my favorite lineup that we've built so far. So, yeah, that feels really strong. A nice Jaguars onslaught. You have a really high chance of fitting the team. If a 5-by-1 hits, you have a really high chance of their defense being in the 5-by-1. So with that being said, this lineup fits really well, and you get some bankable production from Tyler Boyd. You just see it's really difficult. It looked like every time we fit Ja'Marr Chase into a lineup, we got stuck into a 3-by-3 without the quarterback, and that's just really tough to hit. It's really it would be really difficult to get like Mixon, Boyd, and Chase in a lineup without Browning. So that's something to mess around with to try to see if you could get to, because clearly if it's difficult to get to, then if you can figure it out, you're in a good spot. So that's going to do it for today's Showdown coverage brought to you by sharpfootballanalysis.com. Make sure you use promo code ANGLES, ANGLES, to get 15% off your subscription at sharpfootballanalysis.com. And I will catch you all next week. Peace.